Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Oh, great time to go there with the weekend rolling around. You want to make sure you're fully stocked with beverages. Make sure you're fully stocked, by the way, for the 4th of July with beverages. Make sure you're fully stocked for the 4th of July and this weekend with all your snacks. Make sure you're fully stocked with the, oh, you love those hot roasted peanuts, don't you? You love that, don't you?
Well, they're the best. You go in there, you have that smell of peanuts, you automatically have to buy some, and then, you know, you have your cool, refreshing beverages to go along with it, and then you take a slight right before the checkout, and you end up at the pickle bar.
And if you've been wondering where Buhner's been lately, and we should get Buhner on to talk about Aaron Hernandez here at some point, he's at the pickle bar. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Safely ensconced here at the Chateau. Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Hilshire's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilshire's General Store. Go to www.hilshiresstore.com. NBA draft last night. We'll take a look back at the winners, losers, and some of the movement in last night's draft. We'll talk with Tony DeFazio of the Pittsburgh Sports Report later in the show today. We'll talk with him about some of the moves made by the Steelers, a little Pirate talk as well, but mostly talk about the Steelers and where they stand as we get to about a month, a little bit less than a month away from the start of training camp, because Kevin has totally given up on the baseball season.
No. It's still just a whisker early. I wait till the All-Star break before I wave the white flag.
Oh, come on. You're reaching for it now.
Oh, no. I have the white flag ready. Don't worry. I have that ready.
And don't forget, next Friday, we'll be doing the show live from Pocono International Raceway.
Is that 6 days and counting?
It's a week from today. I know you're excited to be among your people.
That's 6 days away.
And not only that, but here comes the big part for you, is it, you know, to see me in there with them.
I'm sorry, but meeting Vince Welsh is going to trump you. I mean, I've talked to him on the phone several times. Meeting him is going to trump you.
No, actually, seeing me there is going to scare you to death. Don't say anything. They're my people. Don't say anything. They're my people.
You do know that they don't have bumpers. There's no fenders.
They have windshield wipers?
No.
What kind of car race is this?
Although I did like it when they ran in the rain on road courses.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
You got the rooster tails coming off the wheels, makes it hard to see. The guy in the lead has all the advantage because he's got a clear track, and you have to watch out for puddles.
There's Dario. Look, there's Dario. Hi, Dario. It's me, Kevin. It's Kevo. I own all your stuff.
No, I don't.
All right, whose stuff do you own?
Yeah, I don't think I own anybody's stuff.
Oh, come on. You don't have any IndyCar stuff?
No, I don't. I honestly do. The only thing I have...
They have a gift shop.
Well, I didn't say I won't before the end of next weekend. The only thing I have is I have an Izod IndyCar Series hat.
Oh, well, good. Into the category of obsolete.
Well, after this year. After this year, it's a collector's item.
You have no IndyCar memorabilia? I mean, you have Steeler jerseys.
No, you know what?
You have Phillies jerseys.
All right. I have two things in my collection.
I knew it.
I have two things in my collection. I got it down at Nazareth when they ran in Nazareth. I have a Mario Andretti championship hat that he signed.
Okay. Well, I have a nice piece of memorabilia.
I have the wine from his final season that his family's vineyard put together called Arrivederci Mario. And the only other thing I have is a Michael Andretti signed framed photo that he signed for me when we did a couple of things together when he owned the Michael Andretti Power Sports locally years ago.
So you have three items.
I do have three. I don't think about those because they're not wearable items. They're collectible items that I keep on my shelf.
Well, what are you going to buy now? We're going to be there. They have a gift shop.
I don't know that I'm going to buy a driver thing.
Well, maybe you'll buy a Pocono shirt.
Oh, I definitely will. No, probably a hat.
Hat?
Probably
yeah.
a hat. Now, what should I, now the what boy should I the boy buy? Will buy it. The boy will want a shirt.
Yeah, sure.
What should you buy?
Yeah.
You need an Izod IndyCar polo shirt.
The odds of me stopping at the gift shop, L-O-N-G.
I think that's what you need. You need an Izod IndyCar polo shirt.
L-O-N-G.
Because you're a polo shirt kind of guy.
Odds long. Well, I've got plenty of polo shirts. I'm good.
Well, I'm sorry. There's no Nittany Lion head on this one, so.
Well, the shirt I'm wearing today is logo-less. Just nice light green golf shirt. I knew that if we went to this thing, that you would just go gaga over it and just start just blowing money left and right.
No, I want a hat. I want a commemorative hat for the race that I may or may not wear. And that's pretty much it.
Right.
Actually, when I went up for the NASCAR race, I did ask the fan trailer, do you have the IndyCar stuff yet? And they said, no, not yet. Then they followed that up with, you're the only person that's asked that so far.
Since you have a media pass, won't they give you a media gift?
That would be awesome. Now, that's one thing that I always loved covering the Little League World Series. They have some great stuff.
They hand out
some great stuff. And I use it. I've used it for football seasons, especially for 3 or 4 years. It's a canvas-style briefcase. But a bag.
Very nice.
Yeah. They're outstanding. They did that every year for about 3 or 4 years, and I've used it, and I cycle them through.
That's terrific.
And then they give you a Little League World Series pin too.
I actually have Little League World Series pins, but fans have given them to me over the years, and
that's what we need to do this year. We need to do Steve Jones Show pins.
Sure, if you want, knock yourself out. That's great.
There you go. But if you're in the area and you're going to be in South Williamsport in August, I got to do that.
I think I'm speaking in Williamsport on the 13th of August. So,
yeah.
Well, today we're going to have Tony DeFazio on. Kevin's giving me a list of Steeler questions.
Did you get the second page?
No, I only have this page, and I've already eliminated 8 of them. I mean, the one about, you know, are they going to drop the price of the Polo Malo jersey? Not going to ask that one.
I already have that. I don't need another one.
Oh, you can't have enough. I know you. So, Captain Memorabilia and I will be back in a moment, but first, Above the Noise, here's Dan Patrick. Saw the 45th overall pick have the name Bucknell attached to it. We bring in the head coach of the Bison, Dave Paulson. Dave, great to have you with us. What was it like last night being around Mike and to see a Bucknell player get drafted in the NBA?
Well, you know, it was really cool. I mean, it's just you know, obviously a dream come true for Mike, but anyone that coaches, and certainly if you coach a place like Bucknell, we're not getting NBA draft choices every other day. So it was really exciting, and my assistant coach, Dane Fisher, and I had the opportunity to get out there, and, you know, we were choked up with emotion. And, you know, it was kind of a little nerve-wracking as once they got into the 30s, you know, when is Mike going to be drafted? But just a really, really neat experience for everyone. And also cool that the Atlanta Hawks had showed the most interest in Mike throughout the year consistently. They really, really wanted him. And I think it's great that he's going somewhere where they really want him and know all of his strengths and even some of his potential weaknesses.
In fact, when it first came up, it was actually Dallas that made the pick for Atlanta, and I thought, Dallas, that's not a good – and then all of a sudden they mentioned Atlanta right away, and that's a great spot for him to land in based on what they want to do with their program.
Well it is. You know, I've been a big fan of the Spurs and the way they've kind of run their business and,
right.
You know, how they value skilled players and players with high character. And the Hawks are really trying to model themselves after the Spurs. They hired the top assistant from the Spurs. Danny Ferry, you know, was an executive with the Spurs before he went to Cleveland. A lot of the scouts he's stolen from them. And, you know, so you can just see that they're valuing the same types of things. And so I think, you know, they'll live with Mike. They'll grow with him as he continues to mature as a player. And I think that's really positive for them.
My broadcast partner for Penn State football, Jack Ham, was lightly recruited, very lightly recruited. And I remember when he finally got to Penn State, and Joe told me this story, they're going through a couple weeks of practice in Jack's freshman year, and he looked at the other coaches. He said, how did everybody miss on this guy? For
right.
You with Mike, what did you see in Mike in the recruiting process? And then when did you say to yourself, gee, how did everybody else miss on this guy?
Well, you know, when we were recruiting him, and it's funny because his high school coach was at the reception last night, and so many people had such an impact on Mike's development. But he was recruiting at these major, you know, AAU tournaments, and I went to watch a kid, and then somebody told me he committed to University of Iowa. And I've been watching film with Mike on the plane right out to Orlando, and I'm like, this kid in Minneapolis is way better. And then I had a chance to see him. I'm like, you know, what are these people thinking? And then I remember Dane Fisher and I going out to watch Mike in the state tournament, you know, after our first season was over. And we were just like kids in a candy store because we just felt like a lot of people missed the boat on Mike. Having said that, you know, he certainly was also the beneficiary of being able to go to a place where he could play a huge role from day one and expand his game that way. So it was a great fit, and I think the same type of thing. I think a lot of people missed the boat on Mike in the draft earlier rounds or earlier selections, but I think he's going to a place that really values him, and I think he's going to have a long career in the NBA.
Yeah, I do too, as a matter of fact. For Mike, in his development, the guy that transitioned from high school to college to now the one that transitions from college to the NBA, what are the differences that you see in Mike as a player compared to the one you had 4 years ago making that first transition?
Well, I think number one, you just have a guy who's very mature. You know, he's just matured a lot. You know, he's continued to mature physically, but his game has matured and evolved. And emotionally, he's just so much more mature. He was a guy that, as a freshman, had all this talent and potential, but, you know, would be hard on himself, would maybe rush some things on the court, would allow frustration to get to him. And so he's just matured so much emotionally and mentally, and I think that's obviously going to be very important to him as he's going to have some ups and downs in the NBA. And I think he's just got such a great understanding of the game and such a versatility. We needed him to morph into more of a dominant inside presence as we made our run to, you know, Patriot League championships. And he may now have to morph a little bit more to what the guys in the NBA call a stretch four and, right. and be more of a perimeter-based guy. But he's got that versatility where he's done a little bit of everything in college, and I think he'll do that in the NBA.
Yeah, Cody Zeller, they're talking about Cody Zeller being a stretch four in the NBA with Charlotte. Mike had a target on his chest probably the last, let's say, 2.5 years of his career at minimum. You have to be able to mentally handle that. What made him special in that way, knowing that he was the number one guy everybody had to take out in every Bucknell game?
Well, I think what made him special was that he was just so passionate about wanting to do his best every single day. I've never seen a guy attack what some other people might think are, you know, less important drills in practice. But as coaches, we know that every drill is important. Well, Mike, as much, if not more than anyone I've ever been around, attacked every single post move without defense when you're warming up or 15-foot jump shot. And he worked so relentlessly hard on his craft. And he was a guy that you gave him something to work on or here's a weakness I want you to address. He did it more than anyone I've ever been around. So, I've had some players that maybe put in more total hours in the gym working on their game. But I've never been around a guy who was more efficient in the time he spent working on his game or is more intense in every single repetition.
In college football, Boise State was able to win signature games and able to get players drafted. What does it mean now for Bucknell that you have won signature games and you now have a player drafted?
Well, we'll find out because hopefully it means we're going to get some really, really good players
right.
To continue that trend. Because at the end of the day, you win the signature games because of players like Mike Muscala and Bryson Johnson and Joe Wellman and those guys and Cameron Ayers obviously coming back. So to keep that going, you know, we need to continue that trend. And so, the YouTube video of Mike hearing his name called, it has been texted to, some of our top targets already. Yeah. So, you know, we're hoping that pays dividends in the recruiting front and so that we can continue to make a name for ourselves and hopefully have somebody else get their name called on draft night in the not-too-distant future.
And for the Patriot overall big picture, C.J. McCollum obviously going to Portland in the opening round to then go in conjunction with Mike. What does that tell the country about the Patriot?
Oh, it tells them what a great league the Patriot League is. And, we had more people picked in the draft than any other mid-major conference in the country. And I was on the phone with the father of a recruit, and we're duking it out with somebody in the Atlantic 10. And it was, they play in a higher-profile conference. So I'm like, well, will you let me know? This is before the draft. Let me know how many guys from the Atlantic 10 get drafted. And then get back to me. You know, so that the point mm-hmm. being, they're going to find you anywhere. And, you know, in C.J. McCollum's case and in Mike's case, they played huge roles as freshmen, took big shots, you know, to win games as freshmen. And that's how you really develop and mature as a player.
Dave, thanks for the time you gave us. Congratulations to Mike and also to the program because last night was, we mentioned winning signature games. Last night was a signature night.
Well, there's no question about it. Thanks for all your support and your coverage during the year. And hopefully we'll be able to report on another one and not too far down the road.
That sounds great, Dave. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Dave Paulson, the outstanding basketball coach at Bucknell. Mike Muscala's draft last night by Dallas, but that was to set up for the Atlanta Hawks. So, we wanted to get Mike on the show, couldn't do it because he's actually on his way to Atlanta right now. It's time to start his new life. News is coming up next. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin Herr rant of the day. It's a full show, especially when it comes to that rant. A full show.
It's actually about the draft.
Oh,
we may have to rant early today because it's so good.
All right. We'll come back with Captain Memorabilia in a moment. here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. So let the sizzling summer sales event get you fired up. With a 2002 Lincoln LS four-door sedan, call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2005 Ford Freestar wagon, the minivan that can do it all for just $79.91. 2011 Ford Fiesta SE 13426. Ford Fusion four-door sedan, $14,991. 2011 Chevy Equinox, four-wheel drive limited, $22,940. And a 2011 Hyundai Tucson, four-wheel drive. Call for price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brewers Outlet is our sponsor today. The beverage supermarket located on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Peanuts, fresh hot peanuts, roasted pickle bar, beverages, snacks, they have it all. I'm here at the Chateau, Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hilster's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilster's General Store. Go to www.hilsterstore.com. Hilster's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. And during the week, we bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on Fridays. Tony, we always save the best for last. How about that intro?
It's as good as it gets. This is the high point of my week. I don't know if that's, I'm not sure what that means.
That means that you are leading a very sad life.
I thought that's where we were headed.
I mean, sounds like somebody needs a couch.
I guess so, right?
And somebody to talk to. Let's start with the Steelers. Camp's coming up in less than a month now. We discussed a little bit about Roethlisberger last week, and it sounds like he's on track. What else do the Steelers like about what they have going into camp?
You know, I think one of the biggest things, and this is not to touch on the talent or the on-field issues, but there's no off-field issues right now. No distractions. You know, Mike Wallace's contract was a big distraction last year, and they were dealing with a draft class that was full of guys who had a lot of question marks, again, not on the field but off. And when you're watching what's going on with Aaron Hernandez right now, I think the Steelers are probably pretty happy that they stayed away from those kind of guys this year in the draft, and they can focus on football. So I think that might be the biggest difference heading into camp, is that this is a group that's focused solely on football. Some of that has to do with the lack of off-field issues, and some of it has to do with the fact that they're trying to prove something here coming off of a disappointing regular season.
Next part of this is that last year, you talk about last year's draft. That was part of the transformation for them as to what they wanted to do in the future with the offensive line. Now, that line ended up getting pretty banged up last year. How optimistic are the Steelers that if they can keep these young guys healthy, that they can have a foundation around Roethlisberger that's solid?
You know, I think you're right, and I think they are pretty optimistic about that. I mean, again, these are guys, for the most part, four of these five guys on this offensive line now are people that they thought enough about to draft them early, you know, early in the first, second. I think they're all first and second round picks, four out of these five guys. So we're talking about Marquise Pouncey, who there's no questions about, just keep him healthy. That's the biggest issue with him. And then you're talking about the guys like David DeCastro, a fellow first-round pick, and two second-round picks in Marcus Gilbert and Mike Adams. So, again, they thought enough of these guys' talent, and I think they've liked, for the most part, what they've seen on the field. There's been some learning issues, you know, some learning curves with these guys, and, you know, Mike Adams had a couple of games where he was getting beat. That's what rookie tackles do. You know, they get beat. It's just if you can show enough to make people think that that there's something there, and I think Adams has done that, and Gilbert the same way. DeCastro didn't have a whole lot to go on last year. He was hurt a good bit of the time, but I know that they very much like him. So, yeah, I think that they are very optimistic, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of question marks that I just mentioned with all these guys. So, and some of these guys are going to be learning as they go. So I think, you know, the ceiling is probably pretty high. I think there's some depth concerns. You know, there's no more Max Starch to bail them out. Doug Legursky is no longer on the roster. And those are guys that aren't exactly all pros, but those are guys that have certainly helped the cohesion of that line over the past couple of years. But I think, Steve, the talent is probably at a higher place than it has been in quite some time, the collective talent. Now they just got to get that experience to go with it and make sure the guys stay on the field to get that experience.
In recent years, when you went to a list of strengths for the Steelers, it took you seconds to put a check mark next to tight end because of the quality of Heath Miller as a blocker, the incredible quality of Heath Miller as a receiver. In fact, I thought he was having his best season of his career last year before he got hurt. What's the state now of that position based on what happened to him in December?
Well, you know, the state of that position is hope he gets back on the field sooner rather than later, because they didn't do a lot to upgrade at that position. I mean,
were
they brought in Matt
Spaeth,
you know, was really one of the biggest moves. They brought in some guys that can complement a healthy Heath Miller. And I know they like David Paulson as a wide receiver. David Johnson is healthy again, but these guys are all secondary guys to Heath Miller. So, you know, I think they're hoping for a miracle, frankly, as far as Heath Miller is concerned. And I was somewhat surprised that they didn't make any major moves to bring a tight end in, but they never seriously looked at anybody. They only looked at, you know, secondary type options. So, for a guy who, you know, Steve, I agree with you, had probably his best season last year, and a guy who Ben Roethlisberger depends on more and more as he gets older and as he fits into this offense, this Todd Haley offense, you know, maybe they know something we don't know about his Heath Miller's recovery skills, because they didn't do a lot to replace a guy who I think is one of their most valuable guys, not just on offense, but on the whole team.
Tony, what, if anything, has anybody heard about his progress?
Well, you know, you hear guys like Ben Roethlisberger kind of wink at you and smile and say, he'll be back for the first game of the year. And you don't know if Ben's being serious, or you don't know if Ben's crossing his fingers and being hopeful. You know, that's basically what you're hearing. He hasn't been around much. He hasn't really done anything in front of anybody to you know, whereby you can gauge his progress. But Roethlisberger was talking about him get a couple preseason games out of him, and then he'll be ready to go week one. That sounds almost impossible. That would be almost ahead of Adrian Peterson's pace. So, and this was a worse injury. This was as bad an injury, I guess, as Peterson suffered, maybe even a little bit worse. So, you know, to me, if Heath Miller's back on the field at the midway point, that's going to be pretty impressive. So I think they're going to have to find some other options in the passing game, whether it's Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield, or whether it's, you know, getting some use out of this receiving core that frankly doesn't have a lot of depth. Because Heath Miller, I think, is a big question mark.
My respect for Paul Christ, which was already relatively high to begin with based on his years at Wisconsin and so forth, I think grew. I was impressed by how he handled the Russell Shell thing. How did that play out, and how did that come to fruition this week?
You know, it was bam, bam. I mean, Russell Shell obviously has some issues, some off-the-field issues, and I don't know exactly what those are. A lot of those might be, you know, between his ears, just trying to, you know, to get everything straight. This is a young man who, frankly, Steve, is on the verge of throwing a lot of things away right now, and you hope that doesn't happen. You know, we've seen that happen with guys like Maurice Claret and just so many others. You hope he doesn't become one of those names on that list. But, you know, Paul Christ, during spring practice, I think, Steve, gave Russell Shell, you know, he was away from practice. He missed some time. And I think Christ basically just said, listen, take some time, but make a decision. That's the decision we're going to go by. And it didn't really get too far. You know, Russell Shell called some of the staff members on the team, not even actual coaches, but some of the administrative, you know, football staff members. And that's about as far as it got. They never seriously considered bringing him back. He made his decision. He walked out on the team, and the team is going to move on without him. And I think you're right. I think that, you know, not only did Paul Christ's respect grow in terms of a lot of people that follow the program, but I think some of the people within the program appreciate what Chris did. If there's a player on the team that Pitt needs more than anybody right now, it probably was Shell. And, you know, Chris stood by his guns, and I think the seniors and the guys who have been through the battles and, you know, left the blood, sweat, and tears on the football field appreciate a decision like that. So I think it went a long way toward bringing the team together. Steve, you know, obviously the personnel is lacking right now, and this could be a difficult season. The home schedule is great for Pitt, Steve, but, boy, they better get better pretty quick if they're going to want to compete against some of those teams. And in spite of that, Chris made the decision that he did to, you know, move on without a guy who was probably their most talented player.
Well, Tony, basically what Shell did was, is he said, there's greener pastures someplace else. I'm sorry. You're basically going to make a statement like that. You have to dust you have to knock the dust off your shoes and just keep on walking because, you know, suddenly I want to come back. Well, no, you already told everybody we're not good enough.
Yep. Yeah, you know, no question. And again, this is a position that Pitt didn't have a lot of depth at to begin with. And they're going to miss Shell on the field. But, you know, maybe this is one of those moves, addition by subtraction.
Let's get to the Pirates for a moment after a marvelous road trip where they went 7-2. They're back home with Gerrit Cole tonight on the mound. They've been doing this with a couple of pitchers on the DL. They're slowly getting people back. Is it still cautious optimism in Pittsburgh, or is there more of a feeling like, hey, you know what? We got a team that's here for the long haul.
You know, I think that this weekend could go a long way toward answering that, how the fans come out this weekend and into next week, because, you know, I think everybody has been, like you said, cautiously optimistic and, you know, enjoying it while it lasts. But this was a road trip that they went on without Wandy Rodriguez and without A.J. Burnett, who had been their, you know, numbers one and two pitchers. And not only did they survive, heck, they, you know, if they'd have gone 4-5, I think people would have, you know, would have been okay. But they go out there, and after salvaging a split in Cincinnati, they run off five straight wins on the West Coast and did it in a variety of ways. You know, they did it with pitching. They did it with offense. They did it late. They hung on for a 10-9 extra innings win. So, you know, it was a very impressive week, and they're doing it with the young guys making big-time contributions. Tony Sanchez working as the DH on the West Coast. Gerrit Cole giving them great innings. Jeff Locke, Starling Marte, Pedro Alvarez coming around a little bit. So,
sure is.
I think people are buying in, Steve, and I think if they come out this weekend, I think you're going to see some people in for the long haul.
Are they serious about Gerrit Cole maybe being in a short stay? I mean, are they serious about that?
Gosh, you know, I hope not.
That makes
no
sense.
I don't know what other reason they'd be saying it, though, other than to, you know, prepare not only Cole, but prepare fans for the possibility that it might happen. To me, if a move like that happens, then I think you're going to see a collective, you know, crash of disappointment among the fans. This is a guy who, you know, was painted as, quote unquote, a savior of the pitching staff, and all he's done is come up and, you know, throw 100 miles an hour and go 3-0. You know, I understand if they want to limit his innings and, you know, pull him out after six innings and keep track of his pitch count and all that stuff. But sending him back down, to me, would really just cause the fan base to throw their hands up in the air and say, you know, now what? Clearly, they're not in it to win it because he's doing it. He's getting it done at the major league level. So I don't know why Neil Huntington would have said that if there was any other reasoning. I don't know if it was motivation issues or what. You know, maybe that was it, Steve. But to me, they don't say it unless they mean it, and I just would cringe if that moment would come, because I think that would be a very deflating moment, not only for the fans. What about the guys in the clubhouse, the guys in the dugout, the guys on the field with Cole?
Well, here's the next part. You're telling me that at this moment, at this hour, Charlie Morton's a better pitcher than Gerrit Cole? He'd stay.
Exactly. No, I mean that's exactly right. And you know, you're not going to sell that to anybody. Everybody's watching this. Everyone's seeing this. And hey, Charlie Morton, you know, you wish him the best. Boy, to me though, wouldn't it be nice to have him as a spot starter and maybe coming out of the bullpen for you? That's, you know, if you're looking for a sixth starter, Charlie Morton's got that written all over him, doesn't he? He's the guy whose career says sixth starter. Garrett Cole's working on becoming a number one, and to move him down now just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you end up in a position where, say, with rainouts or whatever, you have a day-night doubleheader. Charlie Morton's perfect to plug in the afternoon game. I mean, perfect
absolutely
for that spot. Tony, as always,
on the same page with you there, Steve. No question.
Tony, as always, great talk. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Always enjoy our talks. Thank you, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Today we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Just got off the phone with Pocono. Gift shop's having a big sale on Roger Penske t-shirts.
They could give them away for all I care.
He's meant more to the sport than...
No argument. He is. He was and still is the face of IndyCar. I mean, when his drivers did not make the Indianapolis 500, that was a bigger story than the race itself.
Going in.
Well, yeah.
Once you start the race, it's the race.
Right. But, I mean, in that month, we'll put it that way, up until the qualifying was done and you were get to carb day. But even carb day, there was a lot of, I remember that year, a lot of discussion.
And your personal vendetta.
No.
I say we line him up in the show. I think he'd be a great guest.
Was he a vendetta?
14 IndyCar wins at the Brickyard.
Do you know the last driver to win at Pocono?
Do I know the last driver to win at Pocono?
Yes.
You mean in the IndyCar circuit?
Yes. He also won the 500. Not the same year, but he did win a 500 mile race.
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Tony Kanaan.
The answer coming up after the news.
Nobody cares. I mean, really. I mean, honestly, let's do a poll. Does anybody care?